Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., the loyal host and producer who is glad to have you aboard. As we're getting ready to pursue the question, do you like yourself as you are? I know that may not be a question that you really wanted to answer, you really wanted to even entertain, but I gotta ask you, do you like yourself as you are? I know that there's a lot of things about myself that I really do like, but there's some things about myself that I don't like. And I work on some of those things. Sometimes, you know, for example, I would like to be more, generally speaking, outgoing. Just different things. Sometimes I find myself just basically at times not responding to something when I should respond. And I think I do that too often. They're just things about myself that I don't like. I don't beat myself up over it, but I don't ignore it either. Overall, I would say I do like myself. No question. Overall, I do like myself. There's just some tendencies, some traits that I really need to change. How about you? Anything about you that you say you need to change? And if so, does that mean you don't like yourself? Because there can be some things about ourselves that we need to change, but that doesn't mean we don't like ourselves overall. Sometimes it's a matter of, you know, deciding, well, wait a minute, hold up now. This is major. This is pretty serious. I really need to do something about this. And we can look at some of the traits that define us. And I'm not talking about what people have to say about us who don't really know us and they're saying ugly things about us and they're defining us. I'm not talking about situations where we may have been victimized and we let those situations define us. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what goes on within us. It's part of our personality. Does it define us? If it's something that's not desirable, something that's not commendable, something that, you know, we'd rather people not know about. Well, really and truly, we are the totality of our personality. Everything that makes us who we are, that's who we are. And we can't just look at the bad traits that we have and disregard the good traits. That's not fair, nor is it wise. Why would we ignore good traits that we have? There's nothing that says we could or should be about the business of really, really maximizing, really blowing up the negative and ignoring the positive. But on the other side, we shouldn't blow up the positive and ignore the negative either, because whatever positive traits we have help define us, and whatever negative traits we have help define us, because whatever we have in us, that's who we are. Plain and simple. That's who we are. We are not just the bad traits, nor are we just the good traits. We are both. And so one of the worst things that we can do when it comes to accepting ourselves, embracing ourselves, etc., is to decide that we're only going to focus on the negative and spend the rest of our lives just dealing with the negative. And we won't be at all inspired by whatever positive traits we know are there also. Not a good idea. It is also a bad idea to say we are going to really blow up the positive and just deny that the negative even exists. We can be heading for a whole lot of problems if we decide that we are going to pretend that the negative traits are non-existent. Note, we need to be aware of both. We need to deal with both. As I mentioned, we can really be inspired and strengthened by the positive traits that we have. We don't need to get an ego inflation going on. We don't need to have that happening. But we can be inspired, strengthened, encouraged by the positive, and by that be further enabled to deal with the negative. Whether we try to minimize the negative traits or eliminate. And my guess is some of those negative traits really do need to be eliminated. So, in the meantime, can we have those positive traits be strong enough and prevalent enough that we still like ourselves even while working on the negative? Do you like yourself as you are? Well, Psychology Today is going to share some info with us about how to go about the business of changing who we are. Can we do something about our personalities to make our personalities different? Well, personality defines us and how we interact with the world. Though there are different theories about what personality really is and how our basic personality traits are first formed, the general consensus is that personality is shaped by early life experiences and tend to stay stable over time. Notice right now they're talking about their focus is on experiences. Now, don't forget that we can indeed inherit some personality traits as well. We may have a parent who may be hot-headed, you know, real quick to fly off the handle. And, a lot of people would be tempted to say, well, yeah, you have a child who is spending all that time around a hot-headed parent. He's going to learn or she's going to learn to be hot-headed too. I dig where you're coming from. But they've done studies where they have looked into the personalities of children who grew up separated from their parents. And I mean, they spent, if any time, maybe a few weeks. I mean, as an infant, and that was it. Many times adopted at birth and spent no time with either parent, yet had personality traits of one or both parents. Sometimes personality traits are inherited. That's why you've heard me share so many times that we as parents, whoever the parents are, whether we're talking 15 generations ago, 80 generations ago, we pass into our children what's in us. And that goes beyond physical traits. That also includes personality traits. And so some of those traits that are in the parents can show up in the children, even if the children never lived with the parents. But there is a consensus, though, a general consensus, that personality is shaped also by early life experiences. According to the most widely accepted model of personality, there are five basic personality dimensions that can define us as individuals. Each of these big five traits, which include openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism, have a cluster of related traits that shape our emotions and our behaviors in a wide variety of situations. Some of you may recall having heard me say on a number of occasions that we do what we do based on who and what we are. For the most part, our behavior is inspired by who we are on the inside, by our personality, by our mindsets, etc., and not the other way around. For the most part, who we are on the inside determines what we do, how we conduct our lives. So the big five traits again include openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and I know a lot of you got a kick out of this one, neuroticism. And each of these has a cluster of related traits that shape our emotions and our behaviors. Notice now what is inside. The big five traits of our personality shape our emotions and shape our behaviors. The personality traits that we have as adults tend to grow out of the kind of temperament we had as infants and toddlers. Temperaments that we had as infants help to determine the personality traits that we will have or do have as adults. Much like the big five adult personality factors, there are also different kinds of temperament that seem to arise out of the interaction between our genetics, I told you, stuff is passed into us, and the upbringing we receive as children. Much like the big five adult personality factors, there are also different kinds of temperament that seem to arise out of the interaction between our genetics, what was passed into us, and the upbringing we receive as children. Also, differences in temperament can also influence how children are created by caregivers and children their own age. Differences in temperament can influence how children are treated by caregivers, whether those caregivers are biological parents, adoptive parents, grandparents, you name it, caregivers. And the children's temperament can affect how the caregivers treat the children. And not only the caregivers, but can also impact how children their own age treat them. This can result in children having life experiences that can reinforce early differences in temperament and lay down the kind of personality that they have as adults. It can also lead to their developing dysfunctional personality patterns that can develop into full-blown personality disorders later in life. Parents, caregivers, watch those children you're taking care of. Take good care of them. Be fair. Be honest. Take good care of them. And in taking good care of them, watch their personalities. See how they behave themselves as young children, toddlers, post-toddlers, if you will. Watch them closely. And when you see ugly behaviors beginning to show themselves, don't find that cute just because the child is really, really young. That child is encouraged to continue developing that ugly behavior as a child, and they get it in their minds that this is the way I'm going to be for the rest of my life, that ugly behavior as a child can become tragic behavior as a teenager or an adult. So go ahead, watch closely. And when you see ugly behavior beginning to crop up, do something about it. That said, personality changes can still occur depending on new life experiences. Personality changes can still occur. I know that it's tempting to decide that, oh, well, this person is 18 years old, he ain't gonna change. This person's 32 years old, she ain't gonna change. They're set in their ways. Maybe, maybe not. Change can occur. People who have experienced severe emotional trauma or life-changing events can experience some significant personality changes. Even the kind of social roles we take on can change personality. First-time parents or people heavily invested in new jobs can find themselves becoming more conscientious as their new responsibilities force them to change how they think, feel, and behave, generally speaking. People in new romantic relationships can find themselves becoming more conscientious about their partner's well-being as their perspective on the world changes. As our lives change, generally speaking, so do our personalities. Generally speaking, we're not talking about people who have already developed some antisocial pathologies. They may not change. But generally speaking, as our lives change, so do our personalities. For that matter, simply growing older can mean significant personality changes. As we become more mature, we usually become more agreeable. And notice this now, not just as we become older, because we all know people can grow older and still not grow wiser, still not grow more mature. You have people in their 50s and 60s who are doing things crazy things that people in their 20s and 30s do, that people in their teens and 20s do. Why? Because they've gotten older without growing more mature. They've grown older without growing wiser. But there are a lot of people who, as they age, do mature. And generally speaking, they become more agreeable. They become more conscientious. They develop greater emotional stability. And growing more comfortable with our sense of self, our personality can change as well in order to match how we see ourselves. How many of you have worked on changing some personality traits, some behaviors, and it seemed like you were just spinning your wheels? Maybe you needed to spend time, if you hadn't done this, really, really focusing on seeing yourself as the new person you want to become. So, for example, let's say you're a hothead. You're a person with a temper. I mean, you're just a time bomb waiting to go off at least 3 times a week, maybe 3 times a month. But that's too much. Too much for you, too much for people you're around. And so you want to change that. You want to get to the point where eventually you're only going off 2 times a month. And eventually after that, no times a month do you go off. Only express appropriate anger in appropriate ways. Justifiable anger expressed in appropriate ways, but no more of this going off like a bomb, even for when not provoked, when anger is not justified. Well, one of the things that you can do is get an image of yourself when you are really, really mad. I mean, sure enough, mad. And see yourself going through the motions of going off on someone. I mean, see yourself doing it. You know what your face looks like. You may not know exactly what your face looks like when it's really, really mad, unless you looked in the mirror when you were really, really mad. But you have an idea of what you would look like. See yourself. Your face bunched up in a knot, your body tensed up, maybe even your hands clenched into a fist. See yourself going off. Maybe get a still image in your mind, maybe a video of yourself going off. Hear yourself saying what you said to somebody when you went off. I mean, a real case, when somebody upset you or you got upset at somebody and you sure enough went off. Replay that in your mind in video form. And then play a different video, a different DVD, this time where you see yourself responding in a way that was truly appropriate, that would have been appropriate, truly acceptable. Instead of yelling, have your voice at a reasonable volume. Instead of using all kinds of words to insult and all of that, you're using words that are non-insulting but still get your point across. Instead of hearing yourself speaking in a threatening way, hear yourself speaking in an assertive but appropriate way. See yourself and hear it all being played back in the video of your mind. And do that often. This is the person I want to become. And so you take time, quiet time, each day to see yourself doing what you want to become. Now, will that take some energy? You can be sure it will take some energy. But think about it. It takes energy to go off on people. And then sometimes if you feel guilty about it, it takes energy dealing with the guilt feelings. So why not spend some time, quality/quantity time, getting to the point where you can become a different person who does things differently? More in just a few, right here on Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Mm-hmm.